Book of Daniel, chapter 7. Now we are about to get into the meat and potatoes of the book of Daniel. Before we start, I want you to know that I consider myself a student of prophecy. And as such, as a student of prophecy, I feel very inadequate in being a teacher of prophecy. So please keep me in your prayer. As we go through this book of Daniel, I believe there's blessing to be had for myself as well as for all. Let's stand as we look to the Word of God today. The title of the message, "The Court Shall Be Seated." Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom 3 of the 1st horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. And his garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was a fiery flame, its wheels burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched. Then, because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion was an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we look to you for wisdom as we study your word today. Lord, open our minds and our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, through your word for your honor and for your glory. I pray, Lord, that you will manifest your presence among us today, that you will convict of sin, that, Lord, you will lead all men to you, that you will open the eyes of our understanding that we may draw near to you. Lord, we love you and pray your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the first part of this chapter is, of course, the vision of Daniel. The second part of this chapter, the part that we didn't read, and I'm going to give you a homework assignment, okay? You ready for homework? Amen. Yeah, right. It's kind of like being in school. Not really, but yeah, I'm going to give you homework anyway, right? Your homework is to go home this afternoon and read the second half of this chapter. The first half is the vision. The second half is the interpretation of Daniel's vision. And today I want to share with you what I believe the interpretation of this vision is. I do not have every answer. I do not know exactly how the future of the world is going to play out. But beloved, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt how it's going to end. And we're going to get to that part a little later on. And we open there with the conflict. The conflict, and the focus there is verse 2. All right? We open with the four winds stirring the great sea. Now this sea is, of course, as I've told you before, it's symbolic. It's symbolic of a sea of humanity. It represents the humanity of the earth. And of course, the wind coursing across the sea. Have you ever been on water when a big wind blows up? What happens? Creates waves and roughness of the water. That's what's going on here. It's a sea of humanity being blown about by every wind that comes along and creating a state of unrest and agitation. We're immediately reminded, isn't that the way it's been since the beginning of the world? There's always a battle. Man is never at rest. There's always a philosophy, one philosophy against another. There's always a religion. There's always opinions. There's always governments. There's always men who seek to rise to power. And that's what happens here. In this great agitated sea of humanity, we have kingdoms and kings which rise to power. Each one of these beasts that we're going to be introduced to is a king, represents a king and a kingdom. And we're going to get to the kingdoms right now. The first kingdom represented by the beast. A beast. There's described as a beast. Beast number one was a beast like a lion with eagle's wings. This speaks of Babylon, right? Now, the way these kingdoms are going to develop, we're going from the time of Daniel all the way through the Great Tribulation period, okay? And we're going to end at the thousand-year reign of Christ, or the beginning of that thousand-year reign of Christ. And we start with beast number one. This beast was like a lion with eagle's wings. And as I said, it represents Babylon in the days of Daniel. Babylon was a powerful kingdom. And their symbol, of course, was a lion. The wings also representing the far-reaching power and swiftness of that kingdom. And it says about this kingdom of Babylon, the king of Babylon, that his wings were plucked out and he was made to stand like a man. So the opening scene is a terrific, magnificent, powerful lion with wings. And the closing of this kingdom is the lion stands up as a man and his wings are plucked up. Plucked off. And what it's talking about there, you remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar was full of himself. He was like most of the kings of that day. One day while walking in his kingdom, he said, "Is this not the great Babylon that I have built by my mighty power and for my honor and my majesty?" And immediately before the words came out of his mouth, God stripped him of that power. He became like a beast. He lived in the field like an animal. He ate grass for 7 years. Like an oxen. He was made to stand like a man. His wings were plucked. And at the end of that 7 years, it says he came to his mind and he realized that God of heaven was God. And he acknowledged him as such. A little later on in that kingdom, his son Belshazzar, he didn't learn that lesson. And so that kingdom dies. That kingdom passed away and is no longer today, which brings us to beast number two. This beast number two was like a bear. It was the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, which conquered Babylon. The Medes and the Persians, of course, compared to a bear or symbolized by a bear, they were known for their brutality. This bear was raised up on one side and had three ribs in his mouth. What does that mean? Well, raised up on one side would indicate that one power was greater than the other. The Persians were the greatest. They were actually the power of that kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. The three ribs And that bear's mouth represent the kingdoms that they devoured. They basically devoured Asia Minor, Babylon, and Egypt. At one time, this kingdom covered parts of three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. And you know what happened to this kingdom? Like the first kingdom, it passed away. Remember that phrase, okay? Can you remember that for me? Repeat it with me. It passed away, okay? Two kingdoms, two beasts, the same end for both of them. Now we go to the third kingdom, the kingdom that's compared or symbolized by a leopard. This, of course, was the kingdom of Greece led by Alexander the Great. The leopard, of course, is not known for its brutality. It's known for its cunning and its stealth by catching its prey off guard, which was very similar to the Grecians of that day. The wings, of course, portrays the swiftness and of Alexander's rise to power. He had four heads representing the four generals of Alexander to whom that kingdom ultimately was divided to. And at Alexander's death at the age of 31, he died a young man. He conquered, I guess, what he considered to be the world at that time. And at 31 years old, he died. And guess what happened to that kingdom? What was the phrase? It passed away. It passed away. Now we get to beast number four. This kingdom is interesting in that part of this kingdom has been fulfilled. Part of this kingdom has not been fulfilled. All right? This beast number four, Daniel doesn't use an animal to describe this kingdom because there's not an animal that looks like this that would describe this kingdom. What he's talking about with this beast number four, though, is the Roman Empire. This beast, Daniel describes as dreadful. You know what that word dreadful means? Fearful and terrible. It was a beast so terrible that the sight of it struck fear in the heart of Daniel. It was exceedingly strong, so powerful that there was no one who could put up any resistance against this kingdom. It's described as having huge iron teeth. And consuming everything in its path and what it did not consume, it says, it trampled under its feet, meaning it put under subjection anything that it left, which is what the Roman Empire did. If it did not consume the kingdom, it put it under their feet of subjection. Now, we come to the point where it gets really interesting. I've said all this and to bring us to this point, right? This is the part that has not, I believe, has not happened yet. This beast has 10 horns. Now that's a beast, isn't it? This beast has 10 horns. And there are those that describe that as being the 7 regions in which Rome was divided during the time of that Roman Empire. But I believe, and it could be a reflection, but I believe that these 10 kingdoms that will rise up out of the Roman Empire have not yet been established. I believe it represents 10 regions or 10 kingdoms that we're going to see before the second coming or before the second coming of Jesus Christ. These 10 horns representing 10 kings that will be federated, that will be united together. And then where it gets really interesting is this one little horn. This one little horn rises up. And this one little horn, it says, uproots 3 of the 10 existing horns. Now, what's going to happen? As I said, I believe this 10-nation federation has not yet occurred. I believe it's going to occur in the future. As a matter of fact, when somebody talks about a 10-nation federation, I get really interested real quick. All right? And I mean, we've got things like right now, you've got, I mentioned a few weeks ago, the Club of Rome. How many of you ever heard of the Club of Rome? Look it up. Divided the world into 10 regions. Catches my attention. Is that these 10? I don't know. All right? I do not know. Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, is working on a 10-nation agreement of nations himself. Is this going to be? I do not know. But boy, when I hear that number 10, I get really interested really quick and I start listening, you know, because this is what I'm looking for. I'm also looking for one horn, one leader, one little horn that's going to start out very small, but he's going to rise to power very quickly. And very possibly he may be a part of a very small, insignificant nation. But what he's going to do is he's going to uproot, or he's going to conquer three of these kings in this 10-nation federation. And he's going to take their place and ultimately rise to be the dominant force of the world. Who is that going to be? I have no idea. But I believe he's going to be the Antichrist, whoever that person is. All right? I believe this is the rise of the Antichrist. And there are some that have different views and those who think it's the Catholic Church and a lot of other. I believe it's the Antichrist. Here's the reason I believe it's the Antichrist. It is because the way that it portrays him, it says he speaks pompous words. It takes a man to speak pompous words, does it not? He brags. He talks about what he can do and what he will do. He speaks pompous words. He's slain. He's killed like a man in Daniel chapter 11, or chapter 7, verse 11. He's slain like a man would be slain. His body is destroyed. He has a body. He's a literal. Men have bodies, right? He's given to the burning. What happens to the Antichrist? Well, at the end, upon Jesus' return, he is conquered and he's cast into the lake of fire. We also read the description of the Antichrist. Turn over the book of Revelation, and I didn't put this up on the screen, but I want to read it tonight, today. Revelation 13 is a description of the Antichrist. John, this is John's vision. He says in verse 1, Revelation 13, verse 1, "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea." I started too early, didn't I? I'll let you get there, right? I'm sorry. Chapter 13, verse 1, John's description of the Antichrist. "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns on..." On his heads, a blasphemous name. Does it sound familiar? Sounds just like what Daniel chapter 7 gives us. Verse 2. "Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet was like a bear. His mouth, the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority." Again, go back to Daniel chapter 7. A culmination of all the beasts up to this point. At verse 3, "I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed after the beast." So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Whose dragon? Of course, this is Satan himself, who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who's like the beast? Who's able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was guaranteed to him to make war with the saints, or it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe and tongue and nation. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about the Antichrist. Perfect match for Daniel chapter 7. This small horn that rises up. He speaks great things. He's given authority over the saints for 42 months, which matches the time in Daniel chapter 7. It's described as a time, times, and a half a time. He makes war with the saints and overcomes them. In Revelation chapter 13, he does the same thing in Daniel chapter 7. Authority is given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. The same thing in both chapters. That's why I believe this to be the Antichrist himself. But what's really interesting about this guy, okay? What's really interesting, you go back to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. The interesting thing about this guy is in chapter 7, verse 25, midway through the verse, it says, "And he shall intend to change times and law. This Antichrist, this man that rises to power, will be so full of himself that he's going to try to change two things. Number one, he's going to try to change God's laws. What is he talking about there? He's talking about changing what God says is right and set forth as good and holy. Let me tell you, what is the attitude of the world right now? The attitude of the world is, don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me what to do. I'll live it like I want to live it. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It doesn't. Who's that? That was just written by a bunch of men anyway. No, it wasn't. It was written by God Himself. This is without a doubt the infallible, inerrant Word of God. But that Spirit already exists. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, there will be nothing as far as the Word of God that he respects. He will try to change it. He will try to bend it. He will try to use or destroy it. Then he will try to change the times. That word times in the Hebrew means appointed time. Okay? What he's talking about here is God's appointed time. This Antichrist will rise to power. He will be so full of himself that he's going to and he's going to overcome the saints. He's going to take control of this world, and he's going to be so full of himself that he believes he can overrule God, and he believes he can change God's calendar. I want to tell you something. From the foundation of the world, God knew what this direction this world would go. God has not been caught off guard. Nothing has caught God by surprise. He knows exactly where we are. He knows where we've been. He knows where we're going. And I want to tell you what, God is still on His throne. He still has His prophetic clock that in His time He will allow to play out just as He has planned from the foundation of the world. But this guy, this Antichrist, is going to think he can stop that clock from ticking. You know what's going to happen to that kingdom? Part of it hasn't even been fulfilled yet, but what's going to happen to that kingdom is it will pass away. See, this is the best part of the whole message. And that is the court. The court. It says the court will be seated. Or let me look back. I watched till the thrones were put in place. The courts, it means the court is seated or set up. The court, it is a court that is presided by the Ancient of Days. God, Almighty God Himself will sit on the throne, and His garment, Daniel sees God sitting on that throne, His garment white as snow, His hair pure like wool, His throne a fiery flame, and fire stream comes from before that throne, and thousands minister to Him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stand before that throne. At that point, beloved, the rapture will have already happened. We'll be standing before that throne, and we'll say, glory to God, let righteousness rule, to Your honor and to Your glory. I believe we'll be sitting there ready to go, saying, God, turn her loose. God, turn her loose. That's what's going on there, I believe. And then it gets better as the books are open. These books, I believe, it's the Bible, to include the Bible. But I also believe these books to be open to include the scroll that is written about in Revelation chapter 5. You know, the one that search is made throughout heaven. And who is worthy to open the scroll. And John almost falls into despair, as no one throughout heaven is found worthy until the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ Himself, steps up and takes that scroll and says, I am worthy. Listen, that scroll, when these books are open, I believe is going to be one of the books that are open. It's going to be books of judgment. It's going to be a scroll of judgment. And as Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God, begins to open those seals, there will be great earthquakes. The sun becomes black as sackcloth. The moon like blood. The stars fall from heaven. The skies recede like a scroll. Kings of the earth hide themselves and cry out to the rocks and to the mountains, "Hide us, for the great and terrible day of the wrath of Almighty God has come." Then the trumpets sound. The trumpets will sound, and hail mingled with fire falls to the earth. Burning mountains are thrown into the sea. Stars fall from heaven. A third of the sun, moon, and the stars no longer shine. And then it just gets real as the locusts of hell are released. They have a sting that is so painful. Such torment that people will literally beg to die. But it says death will flee from them. Then the bowls are poured out. Sores become upon men, and fresh water becomes blood. The sun scorches men, and there will be earthquakes such as never seen before. Islands are moved and mountains flattened as the wrath and judgment of God. And we just went through the book of Revelation. What I want you to get is the judgment of God is coming. It's going to happen. You may say, "Brother Doug, I've heard that all my life and it's not happened yet." It does not change the fact that when God's calendar registers that time, beloved, the Antichrist, even Satan himself, cannot stop. And when that wrath is going to be poured out, it will come on that culminate Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. As the wrath has been poured out, the land is littered with suffering. And Revelation 9, chapter 19, verse 11 says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse." Guess who's coming? "And behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and he makes wars." And it's Jesus Christ, that second return, where he literally comes back to take control and to rule and to reign on this earth himself. And guess what? We're coming with him if you're a child of God. And then finally, Daniel 7:13. Daniel, talking about, this is where we ended the reading. Daniel says, "And I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then he was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." We started with beast 1. Guess what happened to that kingdom? It passed away. Beast 2. What happened to the Medes and the Persians? That kingdom, it passed away. Beast number 3. The Greeks kingdom, guess what happened? It passed away. And number 4, the Roman kingdom, and the rise of the Antichrist and the kingdom of the Antichrist. Guess what's going to happen to that kingdom? Tell me, come on. But guess what? When Jesus returns to this world to conquer this world, to set up His reign, He will rule and reign, and of His kingdom there shall be no end. Beloved, we will win. Glory to God. His kingdom will not be destroyed. I like that. You see, sometimes I get tired. And I watch the news and I see all the injustice in the world. And I think, oh my, what's the world coming to? I see all the sin and those who would disrespectfully address themselves toward God. And I think, my, don't you know who God is? I look at the lives of men who don't know where they're going and don't even care. But then I read this and I'm encouraged. Because, beloved, we know how it ends. And when it ends, there will be a kingdom, God's kingdom, that shall never pass away. And I'm going to be part of that kingdom. Knowing everything that I've presented, I know there's been a lot of history in what I've presented, but beloved, I want you to, coming down to the last part, I want you to think about, we know how it's going to end, right? You know how it's going to end. Amen? You know how all this is going to play out, you know, generally speaking, right? Last question. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. It's here. It's going to happen. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know why Jesus Christ has not come back yet and raptured His church? He's not willing that any should perish. Do you know why God's wrath has not been poured out upon this earth? He's not willing that any should perish. His desire is that all come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat, but both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up. Now that's how it's going to end. But here's the question you've got to answer today. Today you know the truth. You know the history. You know where we're going. You know how it's going to end. And knowing, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, here's the question. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's the question you've got to answer today. Knowing what you know. As I said, I hope I've presented this in a manner that's understandable. Knowing what you know, how it's going to end, what manner of person ought you to be? Should you not prepare? Should you not make ready? You know, you say, "Oh, Brother Doug, you're just trying to scare." Scare tactic. No, it's not. I don't preach this to scare anybody. But I want to offer you this. I preach it as a warning. As a warning. You know, you live in Arkansas. You know what happens in Arkansas, right? In Arkansas, every once in a while, we get these storms that blow through. And you watch the weathermen. 2 or 3 days before these storms blow through, old Todd Yacobian or Ned Permy or whoever the guys are, they'll get on there and they'll say, "Now, y'all need to watch us on Wednesday, or you need to watch us on Friday. You need to pay close attention to the weather because something's going to happen those days. Storm's coming." So those days come, you know, that day that they warn you about, they say, that day comes, and let's say it's Friday. Friday comes, and boy, the morning looks good. Sunny. Then afternoon comes, and all of a sudden those big thunderstorms start to blow up. And sure enough, there's old Ned Permy. He comes on the TV, and he says, "There's been a tornado warning issued." A tornado warning issued. He said, "If you're in Russellville, Arkansas, there's been a tornado indicated by radar. It's in Clarksville. It's headed west. If you're in Pope County, you need to take cover." You know what I don't do when old Ned Permy says that? I don't throw a fit and say, "Ned, you interrupted my favorite program." I don't say, "Ned, I don't want to take cover." I take that warning, I say, "Well, maybe I need to do something about it. What am I going to do? I'm going to prepare. We're going to get on the interior of our house or room or whatever, and we're going to take cover to prepare. Because we know a tornado is coming because Ned Permey wouldn't lie to us, right? You know, he doesn't get on the television and weather and give us those warnings to try to scare us. He gives us those warnings to prepare us for the storm that's coming. Beloved, Revelation, the book of Daniel, prophecy, it's not to scare you. Yeah, it's going to, God's wrath is coming. But it's not taught and preached to scare you. It's taught and preached to warn you. There's a storm coming. God's judgment will be poured out. And knowing those things, what manner of person ought you to be? Are you a child of God? God gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die as the sacrifice for your sin. He took your punishment to the cross of Calvary, so that whoever calls on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Have you called upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you made Him the Lord of your life? If not, what are you waiting on? The storm's coming. The storm's coming. The storm's coming. I believe with all my heart it won't be long. Maybe 5 days, it may be 50 years. I do not know when, but I know it's coming. Are you ready? If you're not a child of God, I beg you, please, come to Jesus for salvation today. Our Father in heaven, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word and the encouragement that it is. Sometimes we do look, Lord, we think, my goodness, this old world is just falling apart. But Lord, we know it's not falling apart. It's falling into place. Thank You that You're on the throne. Thank You that You're in control. And thank You that as Your children, Lord, we will win. I pray now that You will move freely among us. I pray for those who are lost, that today will be the day that they heed the warning and turn to You for salvation. I pray that those who are saved will live like You're coming back. Help us, Lord, to live each day like that's the day, because, Lord, it may be. You may come back today. We don't know. I pray Your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.